We've got a lot of stuff going on this morning. It's already been good. We've felt the presence of God. We are continuing to bask in His presence. And right now I'm stalling for Michelle to get her stuff together, but no hurry. But we've got some things going on. I want that for you to be not a spectator, but a participator. There's some things that are required of you a little bit later on, so pay attention. It's not hard, I promise. But God is moving by His Spirit, and His kingdom is being advanced. Amen? Hallelujah. Pastor Michelle.
Good morning. Y'all look good this morning. I mean, y'all look really good. Are y'all feeling good? You look good. High five somebody and tell them you look blessed. High five somebody else all around the table. You look blessed. Anitra. She's leaving me. Anitra.
Oh, high five.
You look blessed. You look blessed. Praise God. God is good. God is so good, and He's got awesome people. Yeah, you know, some people say, I don't want to go to church because it's full of hypocrites. Well, you go to the grocery store, and there's some rough people in there, too. You know, we go a lot of places, and we go to be the light, not to try to find some. Amen? So we come here to shine, and y'all are shining this morning. Y'all look good. I've just got a couple principles that I, from my heart, from the heart of God, that I want to share with you this morning, and then a little more about the vision. And I'm excited about it. I'm excited about what God is doing. How many of you got God doing some great things in your life? See there? Look at God. Showing out all over, doing amazing things, changing our lives for the better, giving us purpose and destiny. That's what life is about, a reason to get up in the morning, because God is good and He has good plans for us. So I'm going to talk for just a few minutes about a principle that you find in the scripture, divide and multiply. Now, for those of you math majors, it may sound a little counterproductive. And for those of us who are human, we know that we like to multiply and then divide, right? That works better if I can multiply the candy bars, then I feel like I can give you some and I'm not going to have to do without, right? That's just kind of human nature, is it not? And it makes sense in the math world. How are you going to divide and then multiply? But we're going to look at this spiritual principle in the Word of God for just a few minutes. I'm going to give you some scripture. You're welcome to turn there, or if you want to just write it down and look at it later, don't ever take anybody's word for it. If they're telling you this is the word of God, check it out. Make sure that what they're saying is true, and I will tell you to do the same with me. But if you want to just write it down and look at it later, that's fine. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 38, this is the NIV. Is a scripture that most of us are familiar with. It says, give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Now, Jesus is talking in this chapter. He's gone through the, you know, blessed are those that mourn, blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness. And he's just giving some principles for life. Just understand that if you allow stuff to go through you, then God will get it to you. But do you understand when you say give, you're talking about dividing, taking a portion of what you have and handing it, turning it over to someone else. You are dividing your increase. You are dividing what you have. And in that division, in that giving of it, Jesus said, you will be given unto. So we see the principle there of divide and then multiply. And then in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10, he's talking about bringing the tithe, the first tenth, as Brother Ken has pointed out to us so beautifully, the first tenth of your increase. Now, what I love to point out about that is God said, of your increase, He made the first move. If there was any increase in your life, He has blessed you. And from that increase, you give the first tenth. bring it into the storehouse that there may be food in my house, and prove me now by it, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour you out a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. That is a promise from the Almighty God. Some of us are learning to walk in that. Some of us are still a little bit skeptical. I would like to toss out a challenge. This is said without any judgment, without any knowledge of who does what. I know nothing. But I know that there are some people who are just a little fearful of really stepping out in that, because if I take away what I need to pay my bills, how am I going to have enough? And a little phrase that Sister Lou used to share with us quite a bit that Brother Joel shared with her, that's why they call it a walk of faith. It's faith that says, God, it doesn't look like there's going to be enough to the end of the month. But you said, if I will give, if I will return the first tenth, you will open the windows of heaven and you pour out the blessing. So I want to challenge you, if you've been skeptical on that, if you've been hit or miss on that, make a determination. It's time for a change. It's time for a change. If we want something we've never had, we're going to have to what? Do something we've never done. This is another in that principle of divide and multiply. God said, if you will, I will. If you will, I will. So we see that dividing that first tenth out results in a blessing. You know, if you plant seed, some of you have been in this. I've been in this recently. You have this seed. You know, Pastor Jim always taught us, don't eat your seed. Because if you eat your seed, then you can't plant, and then you won't be able to eat next season. So you've got this seed, and so you plant it. You divide it from what you have. You take out of what you have, and you plant it. And now there's nothing in the seed bag, and I don't see anything either. How many of you have been there? I planted my seed. Now I'm without seed and without crop. But God is faithful. When you have divided and you have done what he has said, do you understand that if you plant one seed, the plant, the tree, the bush, the stalk that grows from that one seed produces many, many more? You understand that principle? The harvest is always greater than the seed. That is God's plan of divide and multiply. Now, I'm going somewhere with this. I'm not just trying to pull for money, okay? This is about your life and your blessings, us learning how to live in God's principles. And we see this beautifully in Matthew chapter 14, verses 18 through 20. This is about the loaves and the fishes. We know there were thousands of people. Many argue about how many women and children, how many blah, blah, blah. There were thousands, okay? There were thousands, and we've got 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, okay? So whether it's 1,000 or 42,000, 5 loaves, how many would agree? Doesn't look like enough, right? But look what Jesus did. He took what he had, and he looked up to heaven, and he gave thanks for it. And then he broke it, and he gave it to the disciples. And the disciples broke and gave it to the people. They divided that very little that they had. And as they blessed it, they thanked God for it. And as they gave it out, I would have liked to have been there to see how that happened. I mean, did more bread just like grow on the end of it? I don't know. I don't know how God did it. That would be fascinating, right? Exactly. How did you do that, God? But what we know is that with that little handful that they had, they broke and they gave, and they broke and they gave, and that should be about it now. And, oh, wow. Okay. There's more here. So they just kept going, and as they gave, there was more there. You understand, when they were done, they had leftovers. They had blessings left over after dividing. God multiplied, and he blessed the people, and he blessed the servers, and he blessed the kid. I don't know how much the kid got to go home with, but they had more than enough because of that spiritual principle of divide and multiply. And we see it again in Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30. And this is the parable of the talents. I'm not going to read all of that one, but it's the parable of the talents. The master was going away, and he left his stuff with his servants. He gave one 5 and one 2 and one talent. And he said, you know, take care of this till I come back. Well, the ones who invested, the ones who did commerce with that, that's another way of saying they divided it. They knew, you know, when you invest in the stock market or whatever, unless you got a word from God, it's a risk. But they were wise, and so they knew where and how, and they divided what they had, and they multiplied it. Do you see that? The one who kept what they had for fear of losing it, for fear of making somebody angry, the one who kept, I might need this. He's going to want this whole thing back, and I don't want to give him a part of it. So they did not divide. They did not divide what they had, and what happened? It was taken away. It was taken away. The ones who understood in the world system and the spiritual principle of divide and multiply were multiplied. And not only in the finances and the talents and what they had, but they were promoted as well because they worked what they had. So understanding divide and multiply is very important. And where it starts is, what do you have? There's a long journey that God took me on a few years back. I've shared it with some of you. Things I wanted to do, and there just wasn't the budget to do it. And God said, oh, you don't understand what you have. You haven't taken an assessment of what you have. Look around the garage. Look around here. Look around there. Suddenly, things that were just gathering dust and I was ready to get rid of became treasures, things that I could divide and multiply, things that I could work with. And God wants to show you how to do that, how to do what you can with what you have, starting right where you are, to divide and to multiply. What are we talking about? Life, joy, finances, things, stuff, whatever, your time. What do you have that you can divide and watch God multiply? 2020 is an opportunity to multiply for us individually and as a body, corporately together. It's an opportunity to grow in outreach and in resources for outreach. But somebody has to be willing to divide, to invest, and to give so that their lives and the lives of others can be enriched and multiplied. Now, how many of you remember this sheet that we gave out? When did we give that out? There's no date on it. First of the year sometime. It's our vision. It was a vision for House of the Lord. How many of you remember that? And what was the first thing that we said we're going to do? Build the body. Strengthen the body. Strengthen the relationships. Strengthen our ties together. Strengthen our commitment together. And I have seen that happen beautifully. You guys are amazing. Reaching out to one another, sharing with one another, taking folks out to eat, cooking, having people over for movies, doing fun things, building the body, building relationships. But what was the next phase? Outreach. Guess what? We're there. It is time. We have seen the body prepared. And what does the word say that Jesus told the Father, a body you have prepared for me. For what? So I can make it look really good, so I can feel better, so I can make sure I'm totally healed and totally blessed and spend the rest of my journey trying to take care of this body? No, the body is supposed to do something. It's functional. It's not decor. It's function. We're supposed to do something. So God is preparing this body to do something great. And I am excited about what we're going to do. And I'm going to tell you about it in just a minute. So the body is prepared to do the will of the Father. I have been seeking God, asking God, probably you have too, God, what is our word for 2020? What are you telling us? Our word for 2019 was freedom. How many of you have seen more freedom in your life in this year? Uh-oh. How many of you pressed into freedom? How many of you decided, I want to lay hold of that freedom? I want to do more. I want to go more. I want to see what God has for me. I'm not holding back anymore. It's being free. It's that body being prepared and walking into that freedom. I don't know if this is the word for 2020, but I know this is a word for 2020, and it is go. Go. That is the Great Commission, is it not? That is what our Redeemer said. It's time for the body to go into all the world, go into the highways and byways, go into every man's world, as Oral Roberts interpreted it, go into the nations, go into the spheres of influence, go into all the people groups and take the message of the gospel of the kingdom. Now, is that just for fivefold ministry? That's what the evangelist is supposed to do. Who's he talking to when he said go? Everybody. Every one of us. Every one of us. That is our commission. But understand that whatever we do as a house, it is we. This is not the ministers versus the people. This is not a minister show. This is not Pastor Richard's going to do all this cool stuff and we're just going to say, go, Pastor. No. We're not interested in putting together a bunch of programs and trying to keep them going. The job of the ministers is to equip you, all of us. It includes us, but it's not exclusively to equip you to do the work of the ministry. So that's what we want to see, is each of you finding what is your heartbeat, what is your passion, where do you flow, where do you fit. If you don't know, you're going to have to get up and try something. You may have to get over your fear of something. I can remember when the church we were in asked Pastor Richard and I to be youth pastors. Whew, that was scary. You know how young people are, right? But there was no one else to rise up and wear that hat. And so we said, I don't know if we're called to do that or not, but we'll do what we can. And so we began to spend time with the youth, just loving them, doing fun things, putting the Word of God into them, love them some more, do some fun things, put the Word of God into them, and we saw them grow. We saw them come together. And we also saw that it was not our calling to be youth pastors. But we filled in for a season, and we weren't afraid of it anymore. You need somebody to do something with the youth? No problem. I'm there. I can handle it. I may not be the one that's called, but I can be the bookmark that holds a place until they step up. So getting over your fear of your go, maybe stepping into something and just finding out, just do it for a while and then learn and see, okay, is this it, is it not? So are you willing to do? Are you willing to send? Are you willing to give? And are you willing to go? Now I'm going to share something about our vision, part of our vision. Our vision is multifaceted outreach, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. There's a teaching in that. I'm not going to get into it, but there are many facets of outreach. Now, how many of you were here when Brother Kempo shared his vision for Botswana? You remember that? It was beautiful. God told me a couple of weeks ago in prayer, he said, Brother Kempo shared his vision, but you haven't shared yours. And so if I have failed to connect the dots for some of that, I apologize, but I'm doing it now. And I just want it very clear what's happening, because I think some of you haven't realized the amazing and exciting opportunity that is in front of us right now. Okay? It's big. As I was spending some time in prayer after God had connected us with Brother Kempo, praying for him, praying for the things that he was doing over there and ministering, I saw something that sort of shook my world. I saw myself in Botswana. Now, if y'all don't understand, okay, please don't be offended, but I'm really not fond of Elgin. That's a little too far out for me, okay? Do you understand? I'm a city girl. I'm high maintenance, okay? But when I saw why I was there. And I saw the kids, and I saw the orphans, and I saw people that just needed a mom. You know, somebody to just give them a hug and say, it's going to be okay. Just pat them on the back. Just to love them. Just to share the love of God. When I saw that, I said, I can't not go. I cannot stay away from that. And as I began to pray, God began to show me things. But as I was praying, he showed me more. And I saw some of you guys over there. Some of you, I saw your faces. Some, I just saw feet. I didn't recognize the shoes. So, but I saw House of the Lord making an impact there. So our commitment that we have made is through the son of the house, Brother Kempo. God said he is being raised up as a light. The people that lived in darkness are seeing a light. That is the opportunity that we have to go into the nation of Botswana with our money, with our supplies, with our prayers, and with us, and make a difference and make a change. I'll try to get back to my notes here. I get excited. So what I need you to know today is that sometime the end of March, we are going to Botswana. Richard and I are going. End of March. It's happening, okay? We have that time frame. Most likely we're going to be going back with Kempo at the same time. The commitment of the house is to support him in what he's doing. But guys, it's going to be big. It's growing. God is putting his team together. You may meet some more of those people on that team right here, because God is doing exciting things. So Richard and I are putting together the money for our tickets. We're not asking y'all to send us. Gimpo's is already paid for. But what we have are supplies, ministry materials, blessings that we want to take over there, as well as all of the things that Brother Kempo shared that are in this pamphlet on the back to set up his programs, the things he wants to do to minister to youth. That's all got to get from here to there, okay? We mailed a letter a couple of weeks ago, and it was $60-something. So no, we are not going to be mailing giant boxes of supplies over to Botswana. We have some plans to take them, but it's going to take the luggage, getting all of the information that we need, doing the research for what kind of suitcases, what to put it in, getting all of this stuff together so that we can take it over there is going to require so much. Some of you have knowledge and information that we need for this. Some of you are to be the prayer covering. Some of you have the money to give to this. I am asking you to do what God puts in your heart. But this is an exciting opportunity. And I want to share just a little bit more about it with you. We're going into a nation that they do some good things. They take care to some extent of the orphans. They do to some extent have education for them. But because of the economy and the problems, I wish you knew how often Brother Kempo gets a phone call. We're celebrating Katie's birthday, and he got a phone call and said, your friend just hung herself because of hopelessness, because there's no opportunity. There's nothing else to do. There's no way to make money. And the only way to anesthetize is through drugs, is through alcohol. There's a generation that needs something changed. And I have a quote from Dr. Miles Monroe, and he says, what a nation feeds on manifests in the next generation. It is up to us to preserve the next generation, okay? So we have an opportunity to change what that next generation is feeding on, to put the word of God into them, not just to change their life, but to change the course of a nation. Can you get the vision for that? To change the nation, because God is doing mighty things in Africa, not just Botswana. This is not the only place we will go. This is where we're starting. This is going to be our learning place. God, how do we do this? What do we do now? What do we send? But the opportunities are there to change them. I want to see many trips over to Botswana, teams going over there, building buildings, helping Kempo with ministry, just loving on kids. Oh, I'm not a teacher. I'm not a minister. Can you hug somebody? Because that can change a world right there, just to know that somebody cares. And we have the opportunity to do that. So we want to change that generation. Now, the word of God came to us. Some of you may remember through Brother Nigel. He said, nations, nations. And he said, when the door opens, don't dawdle. Don't mess around. Don't delay. We have an open door. Let me tell you about that open door. You remember what Brother Kempo shared, the things that he wanted to bring the kids in for discipleship, materials, PlayStations, soccer balls, all kind of stuff, things that you would need for youth outreach. Brother John, you don't just take a Bible for youth outreach. You've got to have some things to do, some activities, some plans. You've got to be engaging and include discipleship in the Word of God. So those are the things that we want to do, and we have an open door. He has been invited in the capital city of Gabs, which I still haven't mastered saying the whole name, so I'm just going to call it Gabs. He has been invited into a school there, a big school, with a couple of campuses, from the smartest and the brightest to those who have maybe been rejected from other campuses, the rascals, you might call them. He's been invited to come in there, and they've said, do your thing. Everything that's on here, everything that's in here, they said, do it. We'll give you a place to do it. We'll give you an office. We'll give you the rooms, and we'll give you our kids. Just come. He has done this before a few years back in this school and had to move on to some other things, and they brought in some other people to do what he was doing. And I'm talking about Bible school graduates from the United States of America, ministers, called, anointed, appointed. And the principal, the owner of the school, called him and said, I have not seen any results that are even come close to when you were there doing it. The kids' lives were changed. They still know him around there. They remember when he was there because of the impact that he had. It's not anything wrong with those people that are there trying to fill it. It's just that this is the one that's called to do it. This is the one that needs to be there. The challenge is they can't pay him. They said, we can't offer you that right now. We're trying to hold it together. So that is part of what we will do, is support Kempo, taking care of his rent, that sort of thing, supporting him as a minister while he ministers in these schools. And that's just the beginning, because as that builds and as it grows, he will eventually have his own center, Creative Arts Center, Youth Center. And I see them all across the continent. So we have an opportunity to start that. We have an opportunity to plant House of the Lord Church in Botswana. We have an opportunity to plant KLTTC in Botswana. That's our Bible school. Those are the doors that are open right now. And God said, go, go. Now, let me address something. You may ask, why would we want to provide all of that over here when we've got kids right down the street that need this? We have people in our own community that need this. We have people right here in Austin, in Texas, that need this. So now I'm going to take you back to divide and multiply. Can you see it? Invest in Botswana. Invest in Africa. And watch God multiply our opportunities and our resources here. Invest in Austin. We will. The plans are there. Invest in the outreach. We're bringing zero gravity in. Some way, somehow, it's happening. But as we invest in these things, we watch God multiply back to us. Amen? So we're going to start having planning meetings. I'm just about done. Planning meetings in January. If you are at all interested in Mission Botswana, in international ministry, in going, in sending, in just knowing what's going on, just keeping up with what the vision is, in praying. If you want to know what needs to be covered, if you are at all interested, I invite you at the end of assembly to just come up here and put your name. You're not committing to anything. But if you see yourself in Botswana, if you see yourself sending someone to Botswana, if you see yourself blessing someone in Botswana through finances, through prayer, whatever it is, I invite you, just put your name on here and we'll be in touch with you very soon. We're going to get through the holidays, but we are going to be launching that first of many in March. It's coming up fast. So let's get together and talk about it. Amen. Amen. Yes.
When Brother Kimpo shared a few weeks ago, God reminded me of something and my family started doing it. Pastor Jim made this statement, your change can make a change, right? And so I went home and I got a little jar and we just started putting our change in it. Just empty out your purse, empty out your wallet or whatever, and just start putting putting it in the jar. And the purpose of the money, it's for Botswana. So I just encourage you, you can begin right where you are with what you didn't even think about. Your change can make a change.
Amen. Amen. We've been doing the same thing. We've got a container on the bar at home. Just what can you do with what you have? 5 loaves was not enough. So your 25 cents today you may think is not enough, but watch God multiply it when you're willing to divide. Amen. All right. At this time, I am going to turn it to our pastor and my fabulous husband, Pastor Richard.
Thank you. Thank you. You know, before you go somewhere, what do? You prepare, you plan, you make sure the car has enough gas to get where you're going, or you have made preparations for refueling somewhere in the trip. You got to know where you're staying. Everything at home has to be taken care of. You can't just leave the dog for a couple of days. You got to make sure that it's taken care of. Well, we're going to do a little preparation this morning. We're getting our house, as it were, in order. We've got several things to do. And y'all, remember I said y'all will be a part of it. Let me give a few. Okay, that ain't gonna stay up there. Well, first off, let's go. Well, no, we won't either. Okay, I'm figuring out how to do this. We're gonna accept a member to the church. We're going to license a minister, and we're going to ordain some ministers this morning. So we've got all that ahead of us. We're prepared. Everything is in order. But let me tell you just a little bit about honoring and the ordinate licensing and ordination process. You can read in Acts chapter 13, starts at verse 1. Says, while they were worshiping the Lord, and this was the disciples, or a group or a contingency of them, says, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. The two of them, sent on their way by the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia. And then it goes on and tells all more what they did. But in this passage, we note there's four key facts that we just read. Number one, it is God himself who calls men to ministry. And I say men, I mean women as well. Some churches don't believe in having women teachers or ministers. This is not one of those churches. I'm not going to get off into that. We ain't got time. But it is God himself who calls the men to the ministry and qualifies them with gifts. Okay? This is not a mama chosen or a daddy chosen. This is a God chosen by the Holy Spirit. Number two, the members of the church recognize God's clear leading and embrace it. That's your part. And you'll have something to do in just a minute. The members of the church recognize God's clear. It's not just the leadership. It's the whole body. Number three, with prayer and fasting, the church lays hands on Paul and Barnabas to demonstrate their commissioning. The whole church, again, we're talking, this is not just a pulpit type thing. And number four, God works through the church. So all of the activities this morning is more about you than it is about the guys and the women who are going to be ordained this morning. God works through the church as both the church and the Spirit are said to send as missionaries. So we know that God calls, the church recognizes it, the church prays or supports and conveys that commitment or the commissioning, and God works through them and the church altogether. So that is kind of the scriptural foundation and basis for what we're doing. We have had turned in a membership request, and Brother Kempo, would you come? Ministers, if you would come, please. Now, I know a lot of things about this guy because he lives with me, but we're not going to talk about him. We're not going to dawdle. We are welcoming Brother Kempo into our body officially. He has been apart for a couple of months now. But we welcome you into House of the Lord as an official member. And ministers, if you would, just welcome him. Go ahead and shake his hand. Yes, shake his hand. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. You all will get your chance in just a minute. Okay? As a member, we have a certificate for you. I think this is yours. Yes. Presented to Shaletso Kempo.
Ujang.
There's too many consonants for me to pronounce. They put too many consonants together. But certificate of membership for signed this day by myself and Brother Steve, the Secretary of the Board. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Welcome to the house.
Thank you so much.
Welcome to the house. Okay. You can go sit down. All right. Now we've got a minister that we're going to license. And I couldn't believe that this gentleman has not been licensed or ordained. He is qualified for both of them many years ago. But we're going to take care of that this morning. We're getting the house in order. Brother Brian, would you come, please? We have recognized the call of God on your life and the gifts and the talents and abilities that he has placed in you for ministry. We recognize that, and this morning we license you as a licensed minister. Now, there's our bylaws states that there's some requirements for ordination, but this has to be done first. We'll fast track the other within the next month or so to get that taken care of, because you're more than qualified.
Yes.
You too, if you would come. We lay hands on our brother. Father, I thank you for the life and the ministry that you have provided for in Brother Brian. We release now the anointing of your Holy Spirit and the official call that you have placed in his life. We release him to that call. We release him as a minister of the gospel to perform the sacerdotal duties that are required of a minister. And we thank you, Father God, that he is licensed and he is called by your Holy Spirit to perform miracles, signs, and wonders and the gifts of your Holy Spirit. We thank you, sir. Thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. Here is certificate of license presented to Brother Brian for his service and recognition of the call of God on his life. Congratulations. Okay. Brother Kenneth? Oh, you're here. Okay. Pastor Michelle? Brother Kempo? Would you come back, please? Brother Kenneth and Sister Michelle have been licensed for several years. Brother Kenneth has fulfilled the two-year licensing period. Michelle, you were licensed in 1908. 2008, I'm sorry. I got my centuries wrong. And according to our bylaws, the graduation from an accredited Bible school allows for ordination. So Brother Kempo, having attended Texas Bible Institute in Columbus, Texas, and finished that course, it qualifies. We definitely see the call of God in his life, the hand of God, and the ministry that God has placed in him to go forward. So, gentlemen, if you would come, and let's just, all three of you. Father, we just now lay our hands on these. We thank you, Father, for your call, for your giftings, for your anointing, Father God. We know that it is only a step that we do to commemorate and to recognize, because you have already ordained, you have already empowered with gifts, you have already called, and I thank you, Father, that now that official title can be theirs, not just for title's sake, but to be in place and in order, according to your word, Father, according to the Holy Spirit that said, set these aside. We now ordain them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We say that you are ordained, you are called of God, and received into this body as ministers of the gospel of peace. Amen. 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 Shake hands, hug, and all that kind of stuff.
Bless you.
Congratulations. You know, it's good that we have family around, and we're all going to get up and come hug necks and shake hands in just a minute. It's always good to have family around when there's a special occasion. Brother Kempo, his family or his friends, those his brothers in the Lord, apart from you, or the ones that he have been working with, couldn't be here this morning. They're several thousand miles away, but we do have a representation of them.
I know where you're coming from. I'm really happy how far the Lord has taken you. I'm so blessed that God has used you. I'm so blessed that you are reaching your potential. I am very proud of you that you've never given up. I know your story more than a lot of people, and I know where you come from. And to see what the Lord has done so far, all I can do is just thank him. And I want to tell you that I am so proud of you. I'm looking forward to the time when I'm able to see all of your work, all of your hard work come to fruition. I'm so proud of you. I pray that God blesses you. I pronounce that God will extend your territory. I pronounce that God will lead you. I want to give you a scripture that somebody gave me, which is in Joshua chapter 1, that says, somebody gave me that scripture, and I always remember it in everything that I do, especially when you're walking in this faith walk, in this faith journey. Fear can come upon you, but Joshua chapter 1, the Bible says that, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. So today, Kimbo, I want to tell you that God is saying he has commanded you to be strong and courageous. You will do well. Do not be afraid. You're going to do well because your future is in God's hands. And I'm really proud of you. God bless you.
That's somebody from back home who is currently in the United States. He's pastoring a church in Ohio. And then we have another one.
Congratulations. Hey, man, I am so, so proud of you. This is such an amazing day. I don't think a year ago, or even a couple of months ago, you would have ever thought that you would be standing today and being ordained. And I can assure you that this is not a coincidence. You know, this is not something that just happened by chance or that happened by luck. This is the physical manifestation of God's love for you. I can assure you, Kimpo, there are so many people out there in the world that are waiting for you to persevere and push on and be the great and mighty man of God that God has created you and destined you to be. I can assure you that there are people out there that are waiting for you to fully discover the will of God in your life so that they can know the will of God in their life, because that just goes to show that there are many people out there that are waiting to be touched by you. God is gonna use you mightily. God is gonna use you in such a great and amazing way. But also beware, because the more you elevate, the more you push in, the more you go deeper, is the more situations start to arise. And but be cheerful, because Jesus said in John 16:33 that you will face tribulations, you will face adversities, but be of good cheer, because he has overcome the world. And I believe that you're going to overcome everything that this world is going to try and throw at you because of the blood of Jesus Christ. You are not here by coincidence, Kimpo.
God has been planning this all along, even before you met the Sanders family. I declare by Jeremiah 29:11 that God is going to do some mighty things through you. He has some mighty plans stored for you. And I can personally say that this is such a big thing because of the past that we've shared, the relationship that we've shared. I've seen you go through thick and thin, and I know that I know that I know that victory awaits you, Kimpo. You are a great and mighty man of God, and I love you, and I honor you, and I'm blessed by you in so many ways than one. And I just want to say that this is an amazing day, and I am super, super proud of you. Sending my love.
That was the brother of the pastor that did the first video, but he is in Gabs. You saw the city. I call it Gaborone, but it's Gaborone.
Gaborone.
And to pronounce his first name, it is
Peluche. You mean him? Mine?
No.
Oh, Tsoletso.
No.
Tsoletso.
Oh, his.
Caliboja.
Caliboja. My oldest daughter calls him Cowabunga. But it's we all call him KB. So, congratulations to all of you. I'll shake your hand. Shake your hand. Shake your hand. God bless you. Okay. Sister Gail, do you have something?
Lerbria sicomana credia, socorbia, shakriasa, halicuria sicomana credia, socorbia, icoria sicomana cardia, socorbiaci, icoria baria sacorbia shata, ecoba bacria satato, hoca bacria sicomana, icomana credia socorbia, inna, and la corbaria sagura, icoria baria sico. Hear me and hear me well. This is the beginning of what was spoken when I established this house. This is that which was spoken when the house was first conceived. It was not a man's vision, but it was a vision that I placed in the man of God. And the man of God did his part. Now is the next step for you to take it and run. And no one shall say you will not complete. For what I have started, I will complete, I will finish, and I will do it in such a marvelous way that people will start to say, where did they come from? Who are these people? But I say, you are the people that I chose before the foundations of the world. There is nothing new that is going on that I did not already establish. You are not here by accident. It was not an accident that I chose you to come into this house, that I chose you to be the new pastors of this house. It is not by accident that I have established young men and young women to come along and to take up the vision. For you will run and you will run and you will run, and they will see and they will know a house that has had my heart. You are not forgotten. You are not an accident. There are things that you're going to do that you cannot even imagine, because I have already ordained it and I have already ordered your steps. Yes, there have been attacks against you, but the enemy will not prevail. For I have chosen you, and I have called you, and I am planting in you that which will take this city into the nations, that which will cause the nations to come into this house and say, I need the hand of God. Show me how to walk. Show me how to walk. Each of you know the steps that I have called you to take, and you have not backed away from what I have ordained you to do. Do not be fearful. Do not look at what the enemy is doing, for I have already cut him off at the knees, and you will rise, and you will rise, and you will rise, and the name of my son shall be exalted because you have not backed away.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. We receive the word of God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Stand with me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Satoru Bokashtira. Let's just praise the Lord. Let's just praise his name. Father, we thank you that you have met us here this morning. Thank you, Father God, for your sweet Holy Spirit, for your presence. We thank you for your goodness being manifested in our midst. Thank you, Father, that you have a plan for us. We thank you, sir. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. 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 Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, I praise you. Father, I praise you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm going to offer the blessing for you, but I would ask that when the blessing is over, that everybody just come by, shake their hands. I don't care if they've been ordained for 100 years or today. Give your approval, I guess. If you don't approve, go pray. But I call you blessed. I say that whom the Lord has blessed, none can curse. That you are the light of the world. And in the darkness you shine and draw others to your light. You are the sweet-smelling savor of the fragrance of God in every place. You're surrounded with his favor. You are led forth with his peace. His joy and his love are evident in your heart. And you represent the kingdom of God. And everything you put your hand to is prosperous and successful. You have no need, no lack, no want. But you are filled with the abundant overflow of the love of God and all that he brings. You're dismissed. Come welcome your new ministers.